you're ready for church this evening. Hope everyone's had a wonderful day. Really excited about what the Lord has in store for us. If you would, let's just stand if you can. We're just going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service. Just want to praise the Lord. Thank Him for His many, many blessings. We know that God's in control. And I was thinking this afternoon about some things that seem like as we continue to pray for. But there is that expectation and then that hope that God has got it all under control, that we know He is by faith, as our message was this morning. And we're just going to quit running from the world and just turn it all over to God. If you have a prayer request this evening, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your name. Lord, we thank You for allowing us to gather in Your house and in Your name this evening. Dear Lord, as we come together, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to receive Your word, dear Lord, ready to worship You and praise You, but most of all, dear Lord, to be attentive to the message You have set forth for us. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You for answering prayers, and dear Lord, we just love and praise You. Dear Lord, now we ask that You'll bless each and every activity, each and every ministry that comes out of this congregation. Lord, bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them. Dear Lord, again, we just ask You to receive each and every song sung, instrument played, every hand that's raised, dear Lord, as we just want to worship and praise You. Lord, we give You all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Let's give Him a hand clap. Amen. While you're standing, turn to page 333. I'll Fly Away. I'm going to need y'all to help y'all. I don't have the choir backing us up this evening or the praise team. I'll Fly Away. quick announcement or a couple of announcements and get ready to take up our evening offering. Don't forget about a revival. As we started up today, just let it continue. We'll continue through Monday night, tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And it's going to start at 7 p.m. Really excited about what the Lord has in store for us. Be ministered to by Brother Jefferson Morrow. Really excited about it. Also over in the Curtis Center, they're going to have food those evenings from 6 to 6:40. But mainly we'll be getting over here ready to get our mind and our hearts ready to receive what the Lord has for us. The prayer rooms downstairs will be open. And just want to remind everybody, please join us for prayer before services. And also, invite somebody. I know there's some other churches coming, but we'd love just to have a packed house. But most of all, love just to be receptive to what the Lord has in store for us. Now, a new announcement to go along with next week. Sister Sharon just informed me that the children have requested, and the young people's Bible class will be Wednesday night as normal downstairs. And it's at 7. I'm looking for head nods. That's when it normally starts, our normal service. So Wednesday night of this week, we still will have the young people, the children. So if you've been bringing them, your grandkids or whatever, continue. And then she's still going to have the class that Wednesday night. So we want to continue to keep them much in prayer in all that we do. All righty. Well, we're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Here come two able-bodied men. I appreciate that. Praise God. Willing to give. One able. The young one. Brother Luke, would you like to ask the Lord to bless our evening offering? Amen. Thank you.
Lord, then I'd like to see it happen, just like he said. Thank you, Jesus. I am so glad to be here. I am so glad that God is here. I feel His presence. Thank the Lord. And just like Sister Susan sang, it'll happen.
Yes.
Just like He said, because Jesus is coming soon. Y'all know this. You got to stand and sing it with me. You know how my voice kind of comes and goes all the time. So I'm expecting y'all to be lifting me up, okay? All right, as we lift up praises to God,
amen.
Jesus is coming soon.
For that message this morning. I normally have to log in on Facebook Live while we're over there with the kids in kids' church, and half the time I can hear it and half the time I can't because, you know, kids are kids. So I try to like listen to Dad and I'll stick the phone up. But this morning, thank the Lord, I got to experience it in the sanctuary and I enjoyed it. Good job, Dad.
Sing Miracle Man with me. Carter informed me he didn't care what I sang as long as it was fast. He must like those good old fast ones and fast old good ones. Praise the Lord.
Came with an expectation tonight. Praise God. Yeah. How many is looking for a great revival? Praise God. It's good to have Sister Brenda's family with us.
Yes, amen.
Got me on short. Sister Kayla, do you have a testimony? That's all right. It's all right to stand. This song, I guess, epitomizes my testimony about as good as any song that I know. I can't even walk without you, Holy.
I thought number one would surely be me. Thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain
I can't even walk.
without you holding my hand. That mountain's too high, the valley's too high. Praise God, praise God. Well, glory to God.
Praise your name.
Amen. Let everyone who's blessed in the house say praise the Lord. We are blessed. Amen. Blessed beyond measure. If you have your Bibles for just a little while tonight, we want to go to the book of St. Luke in the 10th chapter of the book of St. Luke. Amen. As we prepare for the message tonight, let me ask if anyone in the house have ever witnessed a miracle. Have you ever seen what we would declare as an impossibility made possible by God? Have you ever been the recipient of a miracle? Amen. Then we know how good God is to us. And we know what a powerful God that we serve. And certainly we need to be excited about that. And we need to be thankful. But tonight I want to bring you a message entitled, Something to Shout About. Something to Shout About. In the 10th chapter of the book of St. Luke, beginning with verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Say that with me tonight. Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Amen. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for another opportunity to come into your house to worship. Thank you for those who've gathered here tonight. And God, we come with a great expectation. God, an expectation from you, Lord. We know that you would pour out your Spirit. God, we know that you will pour out your anointing. Father, I pray that you would let that revival Spirit start tonight. God, in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits. Lord, and I pray, God, that you would send us lost souls, God. Lord, to not only hear the Word, God, but obey the Word and come to an altar of confession, Lord, and repentance. And Father, I pray now that you would anoint these lips of clay, nothing more than a vessel and an oracle. God, that the Holy Ghost might speak to us. And we'll give you praise and we'll give you honor. We give you glory, for we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As I was reading this particular passage of Scripture and reading the words of Jesus, it's been on my mind recently just these things, and Jesus said. I think so many times, I'll speak from on my behalf, so many times I read that kind of lightly, but when Jesus speaks, amen, things happen, amen. When Jesus speaks, glory to God, we know that we have things, amen, that can be done that are impossible with man. And as I was reading through the four Gospels and reading the words of Jesus, and Jesus spake, and Jesus said, I came again upon this particular passage of Scripture. And you remember as Jesus, after he was baptized and after he began to call unto him his disciples, and he, there's so much talk about the 12 disciples in which he called, and they were from all walks of life, and probably, I would think and imagine, if it was up to us or one of a leader today probably would not have made the same choices that Jesus made. But how many knows Jesus knows exactly what he's doing? Man, I think that a lot of times people today would have chosen them upon their qualifications, upon their background, upon their education, their prominence in neighborhoods and different things, and how they stood maybe in the into the synagogues and the temples, and maybe even chose some of the so-called religious men of that day. But you know as well as I do, reading the Word of God, that Jesus chose the common man. He chose fishermen. He chose a tax collector. He chose some of those people, amen, that probably would not have qualified to be in the ministry of that time. But how many knows that Jesus makes a way for those that he calls? And then he tells us that he not only sent those 12 out two by two, but it was such a success that he also sent out 70 others. Man, and I think about 70 testimonies as they came back. Because those 70 that went out, Jesus warned them, you know, said, I'm going to send you out, harmless as doves, but beware of the wolf and sheep's clothes then, and all of those spirits that are out there and all those demonic things that are out there. And there's going to be people in high religious places that's going to contradict you and come against you. But nevertheless, I am giving you power to overcome that. So I would imagine there was a little bit of apprehension in those 70 souls that went out. But when they began to apply it, we talked about that in our men's meeting this week. We've read these wonderful books about the Christian man and the things that we need to do as men and step up in the church and step up in our family. And there's a wonderful, wonderful just on and on and on of directions and things that men can do. And as I was reading and prepared, I shared with them, you know, reading the recipe doesn't bake the cake. Man, we can read and read and read, but until we apply it, there's things in this Word of God that we have read over and over and over, but I think it's time that the church begin to apply it. I think it's time that we begin to use the power that God has instilled within us. And I would imagine there was, just like the church of today, there was a little bit of apprehension, a little bit of uneasiness as they walked out and began to exercise the power that Jesus had instilled within them. Now, the Bible doesn't go into great detail, but I would imagine there was met with a lot of frustration and a lot of people coming against them. Maybe even as Legion came out against Jesus. Amen, but Legion met somebody there that day, amen, that was able to deliver him. Glory to God. And Jesus instilled this power into these 70, two by two. Amen, and I remember years ago when we were out witnessing in the neighborhood, how many loves to go out into the neighborhood and knock on doors of people you've never seen before and invite them to church? Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, you three go with me and we'll go sometime. It is not the most pleasant thing to do, because we don't know what's on the other side of that door. We don't know it's going to be a grumpy old man. We don't know what, you know, they could be having marital problems or whatever. And especially with the people that come and knock on doors today. And if they see anybody they don't recognize, so many times they just slam the door. So we were out knocking on the door. And, you know, we were going down the street. And, you know, I said, we can cover more distance if you'll go on that street, on that side of the street, and I go on this side of the street. He said, nope, I'm not going. He said, Jesus said two by two. I'm staying with you. Amen. But Jesus did that, I believe, for the comfort of those, because they went out together and two by two, and they began to minister. They begin to realize that when these demonic spirits came against them, let me tell you something. Every demonic spirit is not dressed in a red suit carrying a pitchfork. There's some demonic spirits that look like angels. They can be dressed as angels, but the Bible says even though an angel of light come preaching or teaching anything other than what the apostles preach, let him be a lie. There's some demonic spirits out there that look very enticing, but you need the power and the discernment of the Holy Ghost to be able to recognize what is out there. And Jesus said, don't worry about them. I have given you power over them to tread on serpents and to tread on scorpions. So they begin to incorporate that. They begin to use that. Amen. And they begin to see great results. They begin to see not only healings, but deliverances. And they were so excited when they came back, they couldn't wait to tell Jesus what had happened. And they said, as the 70 returned, they said with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils, listen to this, are subject to us through thy name." Can I tell you, had it not been for the power that Jesus instilled into those 70, they would not have been so successful. There is not a demon in hell that's afraid of the name of Eddie Allen. First Pentecostal Church don't even make cold shivers run down their back. But when you, listen folks, and this is what we don't exercise enough, but when you come against them in the name that is above all names, the first, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, in the name of Jesus, every demon in hell is going to step back because God has given you authority and power over to tread over serpents and even scorpions. Devils and demons are subject to us through thy name. And listen, Jesus doesn't do cartwheels. Have you ever been so excited about something that happened in your life and you just can't wait to tell somebody, and when you tell them, they just kind of look at you like, well, and you can't understand because they haven't had the zeal and the excitement and the joy that you had when you was telling them. Maybe it's because they've seen it before. Maybe because they've experienced it before. Realize, Jesus being the Son of God, not only did He equip them with power over every demon and every scorpion and all of those serpents, amen, but He knew ahead of time what they was going to be going through. Do you think for one instance that Jesus loved those 70 more than He does you? No, because He said, "I am no respecter of persons." Amen. And what He has done for those 70, He's done for the church today. He's instilled it into you. It's time that we put it into application. It's time that we exercise the Spirit and the power that God Himself has instilled us. Not only has He given us power, He has given us authority through His name. If you believe that, put your hands together. For Jesus, we have the power in the name of Jesus. The Amplified Bible says, "I give you physical and mental strength and spiritual ability over all the powers of the enemy." Brother Jim, they was excited about that. I mean, man alive, seeing demonic spirits, amen, exercised through the name of Jesus. Couldn't wait to get back to tell Jesus. Well, imagine 70 people trying to tell a story at the same time. All excited about it. Amen. Ooh, I want to get that excitement in the church. Come on. You know, it's a little bit frustrating sometimes when you have a testimony service and nobody stands up. And you know why? Because I'm going to get real with you. When testimony service is given, we begin to think, "Now, what's the Lord done for me this week?" Well, really hadn't. He hadn't really healed me of anything. Maybe somebody else got healed this week. But let me tell you something. There's something greater than healing. I said, there's something great, and healing's good. There's something greater than financial blessing. Oh, financial blessing's good. We've all been there. God has made a way when there seemeth no way. There's something. When given an opportunity to testify, we ought to stand as, "I thank God my name's written in heaven." Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Above everything else He's ever done for me, I have a reservation with my name in heaven. So they were expecting Jesus to get all excited, and all Jesus said was, He said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I know that I have power
over him. That's no big thing. And then he says, behold, I give unto you. Behold. Turn to your neighbor and say, behold, he has given unto you. Come on. They wasn't all pastors. They wasn't all evangelists. They weren't all teachers. They were just common people. Common people yet serving an uncommon God. A power. Amen. That's greater than any spirit or anything that comes against us. I want us to understand that, church. What God has instilled within us. Amen. When we get a hold of that and understand what God has blessed us with down here and what He has promised us over there, there is no reason that we should ever get down, discouraged, or upset, because God is greater than anything we'll ever face. Oh, Jesus, you should have seen this demonic spirit. And we prayed, and he was delivered. Jesus just sat there. I beheld Satan fall from heaven. But Jesus, you don't understand. We saw demons cast out. We saw people healed. We saw people delivered. And thank God for that. We need to be about God's business. Jesus said, you know what? I didn't send you out ill-equipped. You're not going out next week unequipped or even ill-equipped. Because the power and the authority that Jesus has instilled within you is enough and it's sufficient to face anything that you're going to face next week. I'm not saying that there's not some hard things out there. There are. There's some difficult things out there. Jesus has got that covered too. Thank God for the power that he's given us. So Jesus goes ahead and he says, not only have I given you physical and mental strength and spiritual ability over all the power of the enemy, I'm giving you the promise that nothing shall in any way harm you. Praise God. It's been a long, long time. In fact, I don't even recall in my lifetime, and I'm not necessarily talking about this specific church. I'm talking about the church world today. I've never seen the church world fretting and worrying so much. Fearful. Hinging on every word that's spoken. Not saying that difficult times are here. Difficult times are here. My granddaddy used to preach, we're living in perilous times, son. If he could see it now. He went home to be with the Lord in 1986. If he could see what was going on now, he would understand and know that it is even getting worse and worse by the day and hour. But I've got a promise. I said, I've got a promise. Glory to God, not from my government, not from my president, but I got a promise from Almighty God. Hallelujah. I have given you power, and nothing shall in any means harm you. What a promise. No wonder they were happy. No wonder they were excited, and glorifying and shouting and praise the Lord. Notwithstanding. That's a very unusual word. Actually, it's synonymous with nevertheless. Where have we heard that before? Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the flesh cried out, Father, please let this cup pass from me. I can't do this. That's basically what he was saying. But as he prayed and prayed and kept praying, the Bible says until his sweat became as great drops of blood, he finally said, nevertheless. Have we ever prayed until nevertheless? Or do we quit before we get to that situation? We keep praying for our will, our will, our will. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And Jesus says, notwithstanding, understand what you're saying. We have seen the miracles. I'm aware of every spirit that was denounced through your ministry and through my name. But notwithstanding, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. You see, this is where I don't think the church has got to yet. Because what Jesus was saying, this should be commonplace. When the church gets to the point
that when anybody comes up to the altar for anything, whether it be the greatest, the most severe disease that it is, or whether it just be a simple headache. And I know headaches aren't simple. And I know colds are not good. I've never heard of anybody who had a good cold. It's always a bad cold. You mad? You ever had a good cold? But when the church gets to where healing is commonplace, not extraordinary, not out of the place. Now, oh, glory to God, we had a healing. When they come forward by faith, we ought to expect them to be healed. We ought to expect them to be delivered. Not through First Pentecostal, not through our name, but through the name of Jesus Christ that can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. When healing becomes commonplace, glory to God. But even in that, Jesus said, notwithstanding, don't rejoice in these things. And I began to think, Lord, you know what? I'm awful happy when somebody gets healed. Thank God, I praise that. But he says, nevertheless, notwithstanding, don't rejoice in these things. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Glory to God. Brother Jim, boy, it hit me square in the forehead like a 2x4. Treated wood, by the way. Heavy one. Because it brought a dose of reality. Because that way, when I have an opportunity to testify, I don't have to think about something to testify about. Hallelujah. I may have had one of the awfulest weeks in my life. Y'all look at me like you never had one. I mean, things may not have gone my way at all. I may feel bad in body. Just opinion, I may have had several discussions through the week. You know what I think? I found the best antidote for discussions. Go cut the grass. Somebody said, why are you cutting grass all the time? Don't have discussions on the lawnmower. And it's instant gratification. It is. Every sweep or every swipe you make, there's that much more grass cut. That's instant gratification. I mean, you can see the results of something there. But I may have had one of the worst weeks in the world. But you know what? Given the opportunity to shout for the Lord, I can shout for the fact that I know my name is written in heaven. Glory to God. Amen. And if I can believe that, I can believe Him for my healing. I can believe Him for my deliverance. I can believe Him for my sickness. I can believe Him for every situation that I face in life and be thankful. But what really makes me shout is I know where I'm headed. I know where I'm going. I know who I'm going to see when I get over there. Brother, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Glory to God. I can shout about it and I can be thankful for it. Glory to God. Woo, that'll make you shout. Even through a bad headache, that'll make you shout through a very intense week. Glory to God. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm discounting the healings that have been in my life. I have been so blessed in my short lifetime. I can even shout when y'all making fun of me. In my not so short life, I witnessed my mother being healed from the verge of a nervous breakdown. As a small boy, 5 years old, my brother was 3. She just lost recently. We was talking about this week. Trey didn't know that I had a baby sister that was in heaven. She lived 11 hours.
And it really, really hit Mother in the heart. And there was times she would just go to bed with a severe headache and the trembles. Later on, she would say that she was so fearful for mine and Dennis's life because she thought we was going to die too. Boy, Satan jumped all over her. All over her. But you know, prayer was made, but one night, my granddaddy and my grandmother came down from Rombard. I can see them now. They went in there to the bedroom, and me and Dennis were standing at the door. You know, we was kind of, didn't know what was going on, so we were kind of fearful. I can see it just in my mind now. But my granddaddy, something about Brother Bailey, he was an anointed man of God, but he could lighten up a room. Or not him, but the power of God through him. Many people have witnessed to the fact your granddaddy would come in, and he just knew what to say, and he would just make my day. And he would be the first to say, it wasn't him, it was God in him. Because he was like 40 years old before he ever accepted the Lord. But after, he was kind of like Job. Boy, after them last years, I mean, he was on fire for God. But he goes over and he kneels down on one knee and he called Mother, honey, now you know that God's going to deliver you. Now we're going to pray. All it is the enemy. The enemy don't want you to have victory. The enemy don't want you to have peace. And if the enemy can take your mind and distort it and get it on things that are worrying and anxiety and fret, that's as good as he'll have. And let me tell you something. Mother was full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She was raised up in church. She got the Holy Ghost at a very young age. But I'll tell you what. Those are some of the same people that Satan spends the most time on. He's not worried about the ones that he's already got. He's worried about those, amen, that are sold out to Jesus and he wants to tear you down. But my granddaddy kneeled down and he prayed. And first of all, Mother was just bawling, just crying. And I know when you get into a situation like that, it's hard to get victory. Thank God for the gathering of saints praying one for another. There's not a single one of us in this church house tonight that can say that we don't need the prayers of the church or of other people. Maybe everything's going good in your life, but maybe that person that's not, they need your prayers. That's the reason it's good to forsake not the assembling of yourself, praying one for another. Amen. Being there for somebody who's in need. But Mother, she was just bawling. But they kept praying. Now, my granddaddy prayed. He was not a big shouter. He was a matter-of-fact preacher. Now, he'd get happy sometimes, and he'd do this. You'd have loved him. I love you, brother. y'all could have been doing that together. He'd get excited like that. But when he prayed, he was kind of matter-of-fact. Now, my grandmother was something else. Ooh, high-pitched voice. Glory to God. She's praising the Lord. And I remember watching her. In fact, I was the recipient of some of her prayers when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My back would show the bruises on it. She'd beat the Holy Ghost, try to beat the Holy Ghost in me. And if that didn't work, she'd grab my chin and she'd go, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, deliver him, deliver him. But my granddaddy was not like that. When he prayed, he just kind of, in the name of Jesus, and he prayed, and my mother, she just shouting. I just see her now bouncing all over that because she was getting the victory. But in just a little while, Mother's hands began to tremble and she raised them both. And then she began to wave. And it wasn't but just a few minutes later she threw the covers back and got out of the bed. Delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I have given you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions, and by no means will anything harm you. When we realize what is within us is greater than what's against us, we can get victory too. Come on, put your hands together. If God has ever answered a prayer for you, and that's great. And every time I testify about that, it just sends chills all over me. Amen. I remember my little brother in the second grade, and I'm trying not going to be too lengthy, but he broke his arm. The doctor said it'll never be straight. I told you this story time and time again. Mother wouldn't give up. She kept praying, kept testifying. God spoke to her and said, go ahead and testify of his healing. Well, the first thing she said, well, I'm not going to do that because everybody's going to laugh at him because he's still crooked. But she kept testifying. Finally, in a fellowship meeting, youth revival, there's three or four churches represented there. And God spoke to her, said, you need to testify now about your son's healing. And you know how that first little impulse is. Well, Lord, if they look, his arm's still crooked. But nevertheless, she obeyed the Lord. She got up, testified that the Lord healed her son, made it straight when the doctor said he'd never be able to touch the back of his head, he'd never be straight. Well, went home that day. His arm was still crooked. But over a period of time, she looked out. It wasn't the same day. May have been weeks later. I don't know. But she looked out. He and I was on the swing set. We were swinging. She happened to look and notice that his left arm, the one that he was broke, was just as straight as the other one. God healed it and done it. And that's great and that's wonderful. And every time I think about that, I think about, God, that is a great, mighty miracle because it happened to my family. And time would not give us an opportunity to tell you all the times that God has touched Kevin. Just recently he has touched him. Amen. The doctors couldn't understand because his blood was so thick they had to put two ports in there. But the last time that they went, they didn't have to take any blood out because it was almost to a normal rate. And the doctors had done told us we probably have to go about two times a month. But when I think about the testimonies of God's healing, I can't help but praise Him. I'm kind of like the 70 and 7. I say, Jesus, do you understand? And know what the power has done that you've instilled within me. And Jesus said, do you not understand? This can be commonplace if we'll just use it. Just exercise the power. But what you need to be thankful for and what'll make you shout when things ain't going your way. What'll make you shout when you're down to your last dollar. I can even tell you about the things that God has done that way. But he told the 70, he said, notwithstanding, nevertheless, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Glory to God. Do you understand, church? And I don't want to be offensive and I don't want to be hurtful. But even if we don't have a healing this week, we can shout all over this church. Come on. Even though we may not see a financial door open, and God's able to do that, we can shout for the very fact that my name is written in heaven. Glory to God. And that's my destination. And I'm going, praise God, by the help of the Lord and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm shouting by faith and the Word of God. John the Revelator, lying on the Isle of Patmos, exiled for being a follower of Christ. Many of the other disciples had been beheaded and killed, some crucified, some boiled in oil, became martyrs. John the Beloved was exiled. He began to write as the Lord began to reveal to him. You know what the royal Lord revealed to him in the last chapter? Not that I'm going to take you off of the Isle of Patmos. Not that I'm going to heal you. Not that I'm going to bless you. But I'm going to give you just a little peek into heaven and let you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. John began to write. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. And be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I believe that means present and past. through the Word of God, can I encourage you? All those tears that you shed over things in this world, the times you were hurt, the times you were abused, the times when you couldn't even you talk about ends not meeting, that you could even see the end to meet. All those tears that you shed, God's not only going to wipe those away, but He's going to wipe all remembrance of those sad times away. There'll be no sadness in heaven. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things passed away. You can shout in that. We got something to shout about. Amen. We've got a promise. We've got the assurance that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the infilling of His love and His Spirit into our life, and the power that He has given us, but of all the many things that God has done, all the many miracles, all the blessings, all the deliverances and all the victories, the greatest thing that you and I have to shout about is because we know where our name is. Hallelujah. If you're thankful for that, come on, give the Lord a shout of praise right now. Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Come on, music. Let's do one. Amen. Look around the room. If you got anybody that you don't want to be in heaven with, you better get it straight now. Amen. I'm glad to go to heaven with every one of y'all. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. If you got the words, put them up there. Stand to your feet. I'm not sure. I really don't know if there'll be any padded pews in heaven. I kind of got a thought we're going to all be standing up. Amen. Yeah, glory. Well, when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. Church,
sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, You prepared us a place.
Look to your neighbor.
When we all get to heaven, what a day I'll be.
house got something to shout about.
God bless you. We love you. Hope to see every one of you in a house full tomorrow night in revival. Praying. Don't wait till you get here to pray. Pray ahead of time. Come prepared, looking for a great expectation.
Thank you, Lord. You know, I don't know, I use the word amazed, but I shouldn't. But God knows exactly what I need to hear and what we need to hear each and every service. And as we get ready to depart and pray to release service tonight, I'm going to ask all of you, if you're willing, to agree with me on this move of God and this anticipation of what God, expectation of what He's got in our service coming up, this revival. And not just a revival, that it'll stir us up, but it's going to bring in souls, and that the word will go forth and to the nation. And start right here. Start with us. Praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, for letting your Holy Spirit just fill us, dear Lord, for your guidance and direction. Lord, now we're just placing each and every one that's in the sound of our voice, dear Lord, whether they're here live or watching on the live feed, dear Lord, just continue to feel your presence, dear Lord. Lord, just to turn their life over to you and to be guided in their steps, dear Lord. We know that you'll be with us in our journey home. Ask you to protect us, bring us back at our appointed time. Be with us on the job and the schools and each and every situation, dear Lord, as we prepare, dear Lord, for this revival, continuation of what you've already started. And dear Lord, we ask for your guidance and your mercy. But dear Lord, we just love and we praise you. In Jesus' name.